Dear family and friends of St. Kieran's, please join us for our weekend devotion as we explore the thought that not every bad thing is meaningless and bad. And so let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that in your grace you have sent your Holy Spirit to show us what you say in your word. And so help us to hear it and to do it, and so live out our faith in a way that is a witness to this world, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Our reading for today is from Genesis chapter 45, verse 3 to 15, and I'm reading from the NIV. Joseph said to his brothers, "I am Joseph. Is my father still living?" But his brothers were not able to answer him, because they were terrified at his presence. Then Joseph said to his brothers, "Come close to me." When they had done so, he said, "I am your brother Joseph, the one you sold into Egypt. And now, do not be distressed and do not be angry with yourselves for selling me here, because it was to save lives that God sent me ahead of you. For 2 years now there has been famine in the land, and for the next 5 years there will not be ploughing and reaping. But God sent me ahead of you to preserve for you a remnant on earth, and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So then, it was not you who sent me here, but God. He made me father to Pharaoh, lord of his entire household, and ruler of all Egypt. Now hurry back to my father and say to him, 'This is what your son Joseph says: God has made me lord of all Egypt. Come down to me, don't delay. You shall live in the region of Goshen and be near me, you, your children and grandchildren, your flocks and herds, and all you have. I will provide for you there because 5 years of famine are still to come. Otherwise, you and your household and all who belong to you will become destitute. You can see for yourselves, and so can my brother Benjamin, that it is really I who am speaking to you. Tell my father about all the honor accorded me in Egypt and about everything you have seen, and bring my father down here quickly.' Then he threw his arms around his brother Benjamin and wept, and Benjamin embraced him, weeping. And he kissed all his brothers and wept over them. Afterward, his brothers talked with him." Just to there, and may God bless his word to us today and always. Our story is about Joseph, the beloved son of Jacob, who was almost killed by his jealous brothers, but they decided instead to sell him into slavery to a traveling caravan of strangers, Ishmaelites, who were bound for Egypt. You can read about this in Genesis 37. This must have been distressing beyond words. Nevertheless, Joseph trusted in the Lord, and at every turn he honored the Lord. This did not make life easy for him at all, which is evident as we follow his story. So once in Egypt, Joseph is sold as a slave to Potiphar, the captain of the king's guard. It wasn't long before he rose to a position of honor, overseeing all of Potiphar's household. The reason for this promotion is because we're told that the Lord was with Joseph, and as a result, Joseph prospered, was successful in everything that he did. Everything went well until Potiphar's wife tried to seduce him. His refusal ended in him being thrown into prison on false charges of indecent assault, brought by Potiphar's wife. So here Joseph was, forcibly removed by his own brothers, far away from his family and all that was familiar and dear to him, sold as a slave to an Egyptian, and then imprisoned. However, it wasn't long before he rose to a position of honor, being placed in charge of the prisoners by the prison warden, overseeing the affairs of all that was done there. Why? Because the Lord was with Joseph, and as a result, Joseph prospered in everything that he did. After some time, Pharaoh, displeased with two of his officials, his chief cupbearer and chief baker, imprisoned them, and Joseph was appointed to attend to them. This you can see in Genesis chapter 40. While there, both officials had a dream on the same night, and the next day they were downcast. Joseph saw their dejected disposition, and asked them why they were looking so miserable. They told him that they had both had a dream, but the problem was that there was no one to interpret the dream for them. Right away, Joseph offered to provide an interpretation. Interesting is how he framed his offer. Do not interpretations belong to God, that is, Elohim, the God of the Hebrews? Tell me your dreams. That's in chapter 40, verse 8. The upshot of it was that the chief cupbearer would be reinstated, while, sadly, the chief baker would be executed. In the language of the text, one had his head lifted up, and the other had his head lifted off. As a side note, for us there is merit in being truthful and honest when the occasion arises. Imagine if Joseph, feeling sorry for the baker, told a different story so as not to hurt his feelings. That said, after explaining the meaning of the dream, Joseph asked the cupbearer to remember him once he was free. He said, "When all goes well with you, remember me, and show me kindness. Mention me to Pharaoh and get me out of this prison, for I was forcibly carried off from the land of the Hebrews, and even here I have done nothing to deserve being put in a dungeon." When these dreams came to pass, just as Joseph had predicted, we are told that the chief cupbearer simply forgot about Joseph, who then stayed in prison for a further 2 years, all the while remaining faithful to God under those circumstances. Until, in Genesis chapter 41, the king had a dream and needed someone to interpret it. Neither his magicians nor his wise men were able to do so. At this point, the chief cupbearer came clean and remembered his shortcoming and told the king about Joseph. Joseph was sent for, and once again we see his heart when the king asks him about his ability to interpret dreams. "I cannot do it," Joseph replied to Pharaoh, "but God," again Elohim, the God of the Hebrews, "will give Pharaoh the answer he desires or requests." That's Genesis 41 verse 16. What followed was the prediction of 7 years of abundance and then 7 years of famine. The outcome was that Joseph would be appointed as the overseer of a food program that would avert disaster in Egypt. The king said, "Since God has made all this known to you, there is no one so discerning and wise as you. You shall be in charge of my palace, and all my people are to submit to your orders. Only with respect to the throne will I be greater than you." All along, we understand that the Lord was with Joseph and caused him to be successful in everything that he did. As we walk faithfully before God, particularly when life isn't what we had hoped it would be like, God will be with us to lead and to guide. We are reminded of Psalm 1 verse 3, which says that the faithful will be like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. Now, nowhere do we find in Scripture that faithfulness is easily expressed or maintained. In fact, faithfulness and trust are qualities that develop during those times of difficulty, and they will carry us in those same circumstances. It's easy to praise God and testify to His goodness when all is well, but another thing entirely to do so when the going gets tough. This does not mean that we want to live only in difficult moments, but it does mean that the resolve of our professed faith will be put to the test from time to time along life's journey. This brings us back to our reading and Joseph's analysis of how he had arrived to where he was. From verses 4 to 8, 3 times, Joseph provides his brothers and us with a perspective on his situation, despite beginning with the words, "I am your brother Joseph, the one you sold into Egypt." For, in verse 5, he said, "Do not be distressed and do not be angry with yourselves for selling me here, because it was to save lives that God sent me ahead of you." In verse 7, Joseph said, "But God sent me ahead of you to save your lives by a great deliverance." And finally, in verse 8, he concluded by saying, "So then, it was not you who sent me here, but God. Now, either Joseph is deluded, or he has grounds for making these statements, which are otherwise very sound statements of faith. If we understand life from a position of covenant, we are able to see that Joseph's perspective expresses a number of things. The understanding that, firstly, God had made a covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and his father Jacob. By faith, Joseph understood that his presence in Egypt at a time such as that was linked with that covenant. God sent me ahead of you to save your lives by a great deliverance, he said. Secondly, Joseph understood that God had purposes that would be outworked and would involve the lives of his people. Thirdly, his purposes are to be embraced as they pertain to how his people's lives fit in with them. And lastly, with such a perspective, there is the expression of forgiveness, in spite of the fact that people do evil and wrong things or that life just takes a turn for the worse. A high view of where God's people fit into the picture makes it possible to forgive, to not be bitter, but instead embrace what has happened. Think of Jesus on the cross, and also Stephen, the first martyr, as he was about to die, who said, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." As we end, an overriding truth that was in effect then, as it is now, which found wonderful expression through Paul in Romans 8 verse 28, is what guides us through life, namely that, in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Christians believe that, sooner or later, the sorrows and pains and disappointments and losses will work together for good. It does not mean they work that way on their own or by some power of fate. It means that God will make all things work together for good. So God is the one working to bring about good out of all things. This helps us to understand that Paul did not say all things are good. He said all things are turned by God for good, for those who love God and are called according to his purpose. We are also called to trust God, to be faithful and not compromise. Joseph didn't have to weigh up his options. Faithfulness to God was a settled matter. Once this is settled, then it's much easier to wait for the light of God to eventually appear at the end of the tunnel, to bring meaning to our experiences in life, no matter what. And so may God help us as we live in this world and understand that not every bad thing is meaningless and bad, even though it takes some time to arrive at that conclusion. Let us pray. Loving God, like Joseph, we don't always understand why things happen the way they do, why our plans and dreams fail, and why we find ourselves facing challenge after challenge and disappointment after disappointment. Yet, like Joseph, we also believe that you are at work in our lives and that you have a larger plan and purpose for each one of us, even though we might not always know what the end result looks like. So, Lord, would you grant us faith to trust in you and to honor you no matter what challenges we face. Give us courage to place our lives in your hands and then to follow where you lead without hesitation, confident that your loving presence goes with us. For we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen, and God bless you.